D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we take a look at 2020.
As we look at the nation in 2020, we have to be concerned about the spiritual state of our country.
What does this new year hold for us and for our nation? And what should be our plan as Christians?
To go bravely and trustingly forward, leaving the consequences to God.
We'll look at what lies ahead in an absolutely critical year today on Truths That Transform. Well, Happy New Year to you, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. What will 2020 hold for our nation? As we begin this new year, it promises to be a watershed year, determining our future course for a generation or more to come. On today's program, we will look at some of the challenges posed by the coming year, and we'll give you a blueprint for heading into it with hope and confidence. And we'll give you an opportunity to tell us what you think are the most vital priorities for us to take on in 2020. We begin with a look at the current spiritual state of the nation. Our own David Wright brings us this special report.
As we look at the nation in 2020, we have to be concerned about the spiritual state of our country. There's a number of areas you can look at. We're telling our young people, you know what, you can be whatever you want. You can change your gender, you can change your sexuality, you can change your fluidity. We're in a culture now where we're in a sense saying everyone is their own standard. The problem with that is that's where some very dangerous things can come in. That's where you can see people that would espouse hate or violence or death, and you begin to see anarchy. When you move a nation away from a standard, you put yourself on a journey that can be flat scary.
2020 is a major election year, and while there are many political conflicts in our nation today, this is ultimately a spiritual battle.
Elections have consequences. And those that we put in power pass the laws and make decisions that affect our country. Part of these laws were the Refugee Resettlement Act, and this is exactly how we ended up with Ilhan Omar in Minnesota, for example, who came into this country when we started accepting a wave of Somali refugees. So here we bring people like Ilhan Omar, who comes to our country, paid for by our tax dollars, educated in American schools, paid for by our tax dollars, ends up becoming a member of Congress, elected by American citizens. And here we have a member of Congress who is ungrateful for this country, who does not believe America is exceptional, who talks about 9/11 as, oh, some people did something, as if completely removed, as if something completely brushed away that meant nothing to her.
Election 2020 is going to have huge impact for the future of our nation, for the courts, for the leadership of our military, for our government. And I think it's very important for Christians to recognize a few things. Number one, we need to register to vote. Number two, we actually need to vote. And by the way, churches, nonprofit organizations can do both of those. You can register people, you can drive people to the polls, you can organize your communities. But then I challenge to make sure that you vote intelligently.
The numbers are clear that the number of people in America that identify as Christians is a majority of the country. If they just showed up and voted, they could win every election. There was a case several years back where the first open lesbian mayor of Houston wanted to censor all the sermons of all the pastors in Houston. When you look at it, the combined membership of those churches in Houston is multiple times more than what the vote count was that got this mayor elected in the first place. If they would just show up and vote, and I believe that the good Lord is watching each one of us.
A big issue at the forefront of election 2020 is economic policy. There's an astonishing growth in the popularity of socialism, especially among young people, despite socialism's track record.
I think all of us have been disturbed by polling data that shows that young Americans particularly seem to be very open, if not outwardly and completely supportive of socialism. When in fact, all over the world and throughout history, if young people were just being taught reality, they would know that socialism never works. Sadly, people in free countries will sometimes voluntarily vote to adopt socialism, but they almost never get a chance to vote their way out of socialism. Almost always, when people realize how bad it is, they end up having to shoot their way out of socialism.
You have a whole new generation of Americans right now who believe socialism is great. They want us to be a socialist country. It is ironic that our people, our children, are marching in the street demanding socialism and watching what's happening in China right now, where their people are marching in the streets waving the American flags and demanding that China be like the United States of America. But this is a problem because in the last election, over 40 members of Congress ran as socialists. People don't realize that. So it has become fashionable right now, because it had become fashionable on college campuses to be a socialist. Venezuela, in a matter of 13 years, went from one of the most prosperous countries in the world to today a total socialist country where people are starving. They are rationing foods, one meal a day. People are losing weight. The whole country is falling apart. It took 13 years to transform Venezuela. And the same thing can happen to America. And we cannot allow that to happen.
Another area of concern in modern America is the gender issue. God's word clearly says that he made two sexes, male and female. But our culture says otherwise.
There are three companion cases currently before the Supreme Court, and it deals with the redefinition of the term sex within Title VII, which historically and congressionally, legislatively, always meant to protect the biological difference between male and female. It's meant to protect the female gender and sex. But what's being contemplated now is an in-run around the legislature to expand that definition to include SOGI language, which means sexual orientation and gender identity. So what is at stake here is not only the rights of women and making sure that we are actually protected how we should be constitutionally and legislatively, but this would have an impact on Christian ministries, on small businesses. And so not only are these cases making an in-run around the legislature, but this is not for the judicial branch to say that sex as a definition can be expanded to include sexual orientation and gender identity. That would be for the legislature to contemplate. The progressive left has tried to expand that definition through legislation, the Equality Act and so forth, that has never passed legislatively. So now they're trying to push it through the courts.
There's also an ongoing conflict between the sanctity of life ethic and the quality of life ethic. Human life is sacred, but not according to many in our country today.
You know, it was one thing when women had abortions and ultrasound technology really wasn't available or wasn't as prevalent, and women were truly believing their doctors when they were told that it's just a mass of tissue, it's just a clump of cells. It's, you know, women chose abortion in true ignorance of what they were doing. But now we have all these advances in medical technology.
Upwards of 90% of abortions take place for psychosocial reasons, right? So concerns about finances, education, stable employment, being rejected by family, husband, boyfriend, facing domestic violence, right? The majority of abortions do take place for those kind of reasons. But the other thing we have to recognize too is coercion and force have a huge role to play. So the Elliott Institute puts out some great statistics on this, and I think it's about 64% of women report feeling pressured into their abortion decision.
The spiritual state of the nation in 2020 shows that as a nation, we are ripe for spiritual revival and true change from within.
As we look at 2020, the answer for America remains the same. If you look to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it doesn't say if the judges, if the politicians, if the media, if the liberals, if the ungodly do anything. It says, if my people. And sadly, while many groups are out of the closet, most Christians I know are firmly in the closet. They want to go to heaven when they die, but they just don't want to talk about Jesus down here. If we don't get out of the closet, these other voices are going to continue to fill the vacuum.
As you have just seen, we face many challenges at the outset of 2020, and they aren't easily solved. Yet with God, all things are possible. We want to know what you think is important this year, so please contact us right away to get our Spiritual State of the Nation survey. This is your opportunity to weigh in on the issues that you want to see addressed this year. It will help guide us in our projects and programming, and we will also share the results of this survey with key political leaders so they understand your thinking as well. Get your Spiritual State of the Nation survey, fill it out, and send it back to us as soon as possible, and make your voice heard on the key issues of our day. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. We unquestionably face difficulties in this new year. Sometimes the issues may seem so great that they overwhelm us, but that need not be the case. God's Word reminds us that as your days are, so shall your strength be. Dr. D. James Kennedy encourages us today to continue forward, no matter the obstacles, in this portion of his sermon, Spiritual Advance.
Trapped. Boxed in. No way of escape. No place to turn. No place to hide. Have you ever been there in the circumstances of life? It's a terrible and awful feeling. Well, the children of Israel found themselves precisely right there. And indeed, they were right there because that is exactly where the Lord had led them. They had left the cities of Egypt and were on their way to freedom, only to suddenly find themselves facing the rolling black waters of the Red Sea, and behind them the dust of Pharaoh's chariots as the army of Pharaoh closed in upon them. They were filled with fear. They were like sheep looking up at a pack of salivating wolves with eyes red like coals from hell. They were utterly abandoned unto terror. And then a voice rang out through their trembling ranks, "Forward! Go forward!" And that day, the children of Israel learned a lesson for the whole world, that in all such circumstances of life, that we are bravely and trustingly to go forward and leave the results to God. And that is a vital lesson which every person needs to learn if they are going to live their lives victoriously. Now, I don't know what your particular Red Sea is. but you do. Some of you have been up against it for years. You've tried to find a way around it. You've tried to tunnel under it. You've tried to turn back from it. But you just find no way out. You are trapped. Well, whatever that Red Sea experience is that you are facing, have faced, and certainly will face, the Word of God is, according to His commandment, according to His will, in His way and His direction, is forward. Go forward bravely, trusting the outcome to God. Obey Him and give Him the opportunity of bearing His mighty arm and showing His deliverance. And so it is true in the kingdom of God that everyone is either going forward or they are sliding back. And the reason for that is that we are not on level ground. We are climbing the hill. It's upward in the spiritual life. It's a battle onward and upward to the city of God. And as soon as we stop going forward, we start sliding back. Are you a backslider, dear Christian? How many people have you led to Christ in the past year? Or have you witnessed to? How many days or hours have you given in the service of Christ in any way? I fear, dear friend, that there may be many here who are backsliders. Backsliding away. Backward home. Because there is no place to remain still in God's kingdom. Dear friends, we as a church need to determine in this coming year that we are going to serve Christ as we've never served Him before. To know Him, to give ourselves to prayer and to the study of His Word and to make Him known should be the great desire of our heart. What is your great goal for this year? At the top of that list should be the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Again, as Spurgeon said, and I'll continue repeating until I die, Christ never told us to seek the kingdom of God. He told us to seek it first. Is that at the top of the list of your priorities? If so, the way we seek that is by going forward. We need men and women who will say, I am determined, I am going to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. I am going to be a follower of the Lamb, a soldier of the cross. Is that your heart's determination today? Dear friend, perhaps of late the Spirit of God has been working in your life and you have become convicted about your sins and you realize that this life is short and the grave holds for you many terrors. And beyond that, you don't even like to think, but you have no assurance of life eternal, and you want to be a Christian. Perhaps you've tried to turn from your sins, and yet, like the Israelites who tried to get away from their taskmasters, who represent Satan and his dominions, and now they were charging down upon them to recapture them, to bring them back into bondage, to bring them back into thraldom again, even as Satan does to those who try to escape from their own sins by themselves and their own power. My friend, you may have turned your back upon the world which Egypt represents, but now you find yourself facing this dark sea, and there is no way across. The Word of God is clear, forward, and Christ, our great captain, has gone through that sea which represents death and the wrath of God. He's taken it all upon himself, and he has opened an everlasting way through that sea. It is forward to the cross of Jesus Christ, and only there will you find forgiveness. As you invite him into your life, as you trust in his atoning death, as you experience the wonder of his grace and the new life that he alone can give, his word to you is forward, onward to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I bid you hear that word and heed that word today, to come to him who is waiting for you. Ah, my friend, this, whoever you are, is one of the greatest lessons that we will ever learn in this world. And if you would be victorious in life, in whatever area of life, you need to learn the lesson of the Red Sea, to go bravely and trustingly forward, leaving the consequences to God.
As you've just heard from Dr. Kennedy, the Lord's will for us is forward. It's onward. And we are excited about 2020 and the opportunity we have to impact our nation for Jesus Christ. This will be a pivotal election year, and we will be proclaiming, bracing biblical truth on the national airwaves in a country that's in desperate need of it. So that we can better hone in on the issues most important to you, as well as so we can share it with key leaders, I want to ask you to get our 2020 Spiritual State of the Nation survey. Fill it out and return it to us as soon as possible to make your voice heard. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation to help this ministry speak into the culture with the gospel of Christ and with biblical truth, we will thank you by sending you the new book by Susie Federer, Miracles in American History, Volume 2, Amazing Faith That Shaped the Nation. The first volume was one of the most popular products we have ever offered, and this all-new sequel shows how God's hand has been on America from the beginning. You may be surprised to discover the many specific ways God's supernatural work has helped form and sustain this nation. You certainly have not been taught this information in any secular school or university. Discover inspiring stories of revivals, faith, and captivating courage from America's history. Miracles in America's History, Volume 2, spans from William Penn's early colony in America all the way through prayers offered on the surface of the moon. Contact us right away with your generous donation, and we'll thank you by sending you Miracles in American History, Volume 2 by Susie Federer, with a foreword from her husband, historian William J. Federer. And no matter what, make sure to get in touch with us right away to receive your 2020 Spiritual State of the Nation survey, so that you can fill it out and get it back to us as soon as possible. We and your political leaders need to hear from you on the most urgent issues facing America. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Well, 2019 is now behind us, with much of its waning days dominated by talk of impeachment. So here's a question. Does the Bible have anything to say about impeachment? Well, as a matter of fact, it does. Our Republican form of government, that's Republican with a small r, is one in which the people elect their own leaders. At America's birth, nearly 244 years ago, and for the first time in recorded history, a nation was born giving the people the right to choose who governs them. It is true that both ancient Israel and ancient Rome had forms of republican government, but not one where the ordinary citizen participated in elections. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord Himself sets the standard for leaders when He said, "Choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads." But what about impeachment? Well, the framers of our Constitution wisely included impeachment to remove a president, but only if found guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. Worth noting is the very high bar that must be reached for such an impeachment to be considered legitimate. The charges must be fully vetted and approved by the House of Representatives, and the actual hearing and ruling on the allegations must be conducted by the Senate, with the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court presiding. Both the high standard for charges and the deliberative impeachment process are designed to winnow out those accusations that are solely partisan in nature. But what if a politically motivated impeachment effort proceeds anyway? Well, here also the framers gave us a powerful corrective: the ballot box. In the end, government of, by, and for the people is sustained by citizens applying the appropriate remedial response on election day. The biblical corrective is to choose your leaders carefully. I hope you will make up your mind now to fulfill that sacred obligation on Election Day in November. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
God determined to establish here a Christian nation. How do I know that? Because we have one. And if He had not determined to do that, we would not have such.
Miracles in American History, Volume 2, The Faith That Shaped the Nation, brings out how in times of crises, people turn to Christ. And it's in times of crises that God raises up leaders.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.